Like you said, we're going to Antigua for a missions trip, and the dates are going to be August the 6th to the 10th, so please pray about that as it gets closer. And preacher's going to ask some of the teenagers that are going on the missions trip this year to try to give a testimony, a brief word of testimony, so we get through everybody. But the first one's always the most difficult, so I try to break the ice here. The Lord laid this on my heart to do a missions trip because I've never been on one, and I've seen what my peers, my friends my age, teenagers my age, when they went on their missions trip, when I should have been with them, I was away from the Lord, out of God's will, out of church. And I can remember, even as a lost person, coming in and listening to the testimonies of my friends after going to a mission field and coming back, and just the tremendous impact that it had on their life. They came back different. They came back changed. And I remember, as a lost person, sitting in a balcony somewhere, that the very back, just looking there and saying, I wish that was me. You know, I wish I could have gone with them. I wish I could have experienced that with them. And I've always wanted to take my youth group on a missions trip because I think it would stir their hearts. I think it would begin to work on them. And also, another reason is we have several of our young people in our youth group that are experiencing the calling of God in their life for the mission field in some capacity. I know Tim Roberts is called to be an aviation missionary with planes in some way. And let me do this real quick. If you're experiencing the Lord calling you to be a missionary, if you're praying about being a missionary, if that's you, would you stand up in our youth group? Anybody else like that? Don't be nervous. Stand up. Stand up. So we have quite a few, as you can see. And I thought it would be wonderful to take those. Thank you. You may be seated. I thought that it would be a great experience for them to go to mission field and actually experience it for themselves. And how do we get to Antigua? Well, I was praying about it, and I was completely clueless. I've never been to a missions trip before, and so I don't know how to go about it. And then I remember my great friend, Brother Hester. I know that he and his church have a heart for their Caribbean. He actually has a ministry about that. I think you'll talk a little bit about that later. And so I contacted him, and I described to him kind of what I wanted the mission trip to be: somewhere safe, obviously, somewhere they can go door knocking, because our youth group loves going soul winning. I wanted that to be a part of it, and just some different other things. And he said, you just described Antigua. And he has contacts there. Pastor Carter knows a man that used to be there, Jerry Baker. So we decided to go with, after praying about it, decided to go with Antigua. And we have several testimonies tonight, so they already know their order. And we're starting off with our senior, and it's Ashley Rutherford, and she's going to come on. And then after her is Daniel, and then everyone else should be in order. So, Ashley, come on.
Hello. As he said, my name is Ashley Rutherford, and I'm a senior here at Lamar Christian School. I've been involved with the youth group since 7th grade. And each year, it just keeps getting better and better. We just keep doing more stuff. He always comes to us, and he's like, guys, you'll never believe what we're doing this year. And we're like, what? And he's like, I'm not going to tell you. And so, you know, this year, he said, we're going to go to a missions trip. And I was, like, super excited because I've never been on one before, and it happens to be my last year at the youth group. And I'm just so excited to see the culture and everyone there and what God's going to do with us down there. I thank you for your prayers as we go out soul winning week to week, and now we're going to go to another country. And so, yeah, I'm just thankful for you guys, and thank you for supporting us and praying, because, you know, he needs it more than we do.
Good evening, church. My name is Daniel Betancourt, and I'm in the 9th grade, all right? Like Ashley already said, I was very excited when Brother Morton said, let's go to a mission trip, and I'm like, let's go. All right, I really wanted to go to a mission trip, and the number of years I've been here in the youth group, I started going in seventh grade, I started going to this youth group, and it's been a blessing every time I come to this youth group and go out soul winning every time. And the things I hope to accomplish there is to win at least 10 people to the Lord. At least 10 people to the Lord, win 10 people to the Lord, at least in my experience. And what I'm very excited is because I never flew on a plane, and I'm very excited for that. And I've never been to another country, just stay in the U.S., but I want to come back very quickly. And I don't want to stay there as much, all right? So yeah, and I'm thank you for your prayers. Thank you for praying for us as we go out and soul winning, and thank you for your prayers as we do stuff, the youth rallies and all that stuff. I'm just very thankful and giving your money to us and just doing our fundraisers, and thank you for cooperating with us. Thank you.
Isabel Lampert. I'm in the 7th grade here at Landmark Christian School, and I'm excited for the mission trip here because I want to like help out in the mission field, so that would help me with that. And I'm most excited about seeing the sites and getting to meet new people and their cultures. Thank you.
All right. Hey, I'm Ben. That's my dad over there. You know, most of y'all know me. I'm in the 10th grade at Landmark Christian School. I'm actually really excited. When he said we're going on a mission trip, I really wanted to go. I've never been before. It's gonna be cool. I've never been out of the country. That'll be a cool thing to do. And I really just want to go over there, and it'll help us build to win people to the Lord here in our country too. It'll really help, and I just really want to see that happen. And it's just a lot of fun. And I want to thank you all for letting us go, and just thank you for your support and all the fundraisers and stuff. And thank you.
Hi, my name is Emily Betancourt, and I'm in 8th grade, and this is my second year, on being in the youth group, and I'm really excited to go on the missions trip because I feel like I'm being called to be a missionary, and, you know, I'm still praying about it, you know, and, you know, I have a big burden to be on the battlefield and win a lot of people to the Lord, and, you know, like I said, I'm really excited because I've never... Like my brother said, I never flew in a plane, and I want to thank you guys for, you know, giving the money and, you know, praying for us, like, you know, everyone needs prayer anyways, and thank you for everything.
Hi, I'm Joseph Badano, and I'm in 7th grade, and I've been in the youth group for 1 year, and it's been really fun. I hope the missions trip, I hope to win a lot of souls, and I want to leave. I want to go out of the country for the first time, and thank you.
Hi, my name is Cheyenne Whitehead. I'm in the 9th grade, and I've been attending the youth ministry for about 3 years now. And my number one goal that I like to do as I'm over there in Antigua, I like to see souls being saved and to make a huge difference in their ministry and to leave a great testimony behind. And I've never been in a plane before, much less barely out of the state of Florida. So that will be a great, interesting experience. And I'd like to thank my church family for supporting us in all your prayers and buying stuff from us that you don't need at all. But thank you so much for all of that and your prayers and support, and good night.
Hi, I'm Jonathan Kenos, and I'm in 9th grade. I've been attending the youth group for 3 years, and I'm really excited to go on a mission trip because I've never done it before, and I want to see a lot of people saved, and I've never been out of the country, so I'm really excited for that. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Renee Roberts. No, I'm not in high school, and I'm not in the youth group. As most of y'all know, I'm a freshman in the college, but whenever they were first starting to make the plans for the missions trip, I was a senior in high school, and the Mortons were kind enough to let me go on the missions trip since I was kind of there when they were beginning to get everything ready. Whenever they had the past missions trip, all my three older sisters went and my mom went, but I was just 1 year too young to go, and I was so sad. But now I'm so excited I can finally go, so I'm really excited about that. And I have been on a plane, but I've never been out of the country, so I'm really excited about that too. And also, some of y'all know my major in college is missions major, so I'm really excited about this. I feel like, well, I know the Lord will use this to give me some good experience and just let me see kind of what it'll be like. And we really thank you and appreciate your prayers and all of your support. It's not taken lightly. So, thank you.
They were talking about the yard sale. You didn't need our junk. That's what she was referring to. But thank you for buying it anyways. And if we do have a yard sale in the future, please buy some more stuff you don't need. At this time, Brother Hess is going to come up and share some about Antigua and about his ministry there. His church has a ministry called Rock, Reaching Our Caribbean. And he's been so gracious where I didn't have a clue about some things. he was very gracious by saying, hey, you might want to do this, you might want to check on that, and keep me on track. And he's a personal friend of mine. I'm looking forward to going on a trip with him, and Brother Hester's going to come on now.
All right. Well, it's good to be here tonight. Young people, I certainly appreciate those testimonies, and I'm honored to be here. Good to see so many of our people that we know and have known for many years. And certainly a lot of you have been down to Key West, and you've stayed in the Prophet's Chamber there and have gotten a little bit of R&R. And so it's good to see you dear folks. And of course, thank you, Pastor Carter, for this wonderful opportunity just to present a little bit about the work and just to give you a thought here. As these young people are preparing to go to Antigua, and we'll talk a little bit about that here in just a minute. I am excited about the young people going. Young people, in case you don't know this, young people have energy. Amen. And these young people have a lot of energy. And so we're going to take that energy to Antigua and be a help and a blessing to several churches while we're there. And I think it'll certainly be a blessing. I want you to do something. I want you to begin to pray for the young people as they're preparing. This is, as you heard them say, this has, for many of them, this is the first time they've either been to the mission field or been out of the country. And so I want you to begin to pray for that group. And I've already begun to pray that the Lord would work in their lives and that the Lord would prepare the way as we travel to Antigua here in the next few months. Is this on? Let me move this over here. There we go. Now you might say this, what is the connection between Landmark Baptist Church and the youth ministry and our ministry, Operation Rock? Well, as Pastor Carter said, I pastor a small church on a tiny island 90 miles from the country of Cuba. And there's about 4,000 people on our island, and so it's not a big island. And several years ago, back in 2012, I began to wonder what we could do as far as missions were concerned. We had begun to hand out tracts and go soul winning, and it doesn't take long, if you've got a bunch of people doing it, to hand out 4,000 tracts. I think the first year that we were there, we probably handed out about 10,000 tracts. I remember one time I walked in the post office and I was getting the mail. And I looked at the lady who was there at the desk. She was checking her mail. And I reached in my pocket and I handed her a tract. And she looked at me and she said, "Don't you remember me, Pastor? You gave me a tract 2 weeks ago." And so I was thinking how we could reach out where we were at on our island. And Operation Rock was birthed. We began to correspond with national pastors in the Caribbean region. And as we began to correspond with them, we began to get to know them. We learned, made sure their doctrine was right. And then we began to ask them some of their needs. It's amazing to me how that the needs of the national pastor in the Caribbean, they're the same needs that you and I have. I know they need tracts. I know that. Every national pastor, every missionary, they do need tracts. I know that they need Bibles. I know that they need Sunday school material. And I know that. But there's other things that they need. So as we begin to correspond with these national pastors in the Caribbean, and I've been to many of the islands, we begin to ask them some of their personal needs. I remember when we first started, I said to a national pastor, "Tell me what you need." And of course, they were very hesitant. But one of them finally said this. They said, "Pastor," they said, "my little girl needs a new pair of shoes." He said, "And we sure do need some new bed sheets for our bed." And in 2012, I went to the pulpit at my church and I read the email. And I said this. I said, who'll go and buy this little girl a pair of shoes? And somebody's hand slipped up. I said, who'll buy them some bed sheets for their bed? Somebody else raised their hand. And that was the birth of Operation Rock. And now we help supply the national pastors in the Caribbean with not only Bibles and not only tracts and not only Sunday school material, but personal needs also. We have a shipment right now that will make port in Grenada probably the day after tomorrow. And in that shipment, there are shoes that that pastor asked for his children. There is wireless microphones that he asked for his church. There's Lord's Supper dishes that he asked for because his church didn't have any. He asked for microphone stands, things that if we need in our churches, we call up the business office or we just order it. They can't do that. As Operation Rock began to develop, we began to have more churches come on board and help us and support us. Now, and this will be the second trip to Haiti. I'm leaving for Haiti in 2 weeks. And we will fly into Port-au-Prince and then eventually make it to the northern part of Haiti. Second year in a row we've done this. We've got a medical doctor that's traveling with me. Medical doctor, my personal physician. I'm discipling him. He said to me one day, he said, I want to go on a mission trip. And I said, come on, brother. He went last year with me to Haiti. My wife feels very comfortable with my doctor traveling with me. And so he went to Haiti. He did a medical clinic during the day, and we had a bunch of eyeglasses and high blood pressure medicine and cholesterol medicine and stuff that was donated. He did clinics during the day, and I preached at night. We're doing that again, except in a different part of Haiti. It is because of what God has done through the ministry of Operation Rock that we have had several youth directors across the country contact us and say, hey, can you help us get to the mission field? And that's how this whole thing got started. Colin contacted us and said, man, let's do it. You say, why? Why go to the mission field? Well, there's some reasons. The biggest reason, of course, is to advance the gospel. The gospel needs to be advanced. Antigua is an island with 85,000 people. The island is 9 miles by 12 miles. And there are places, there are villages on that island that don't have a gospel witness. The plan is to go into one of those villages or into an area that does not have a gospel witness and to set up a tent. And all of this will be done prior to the teenagers arriving there. And then going into that area, evangelizing that area during the day and having tent meetings or tent services at night. That's how we're going to advance the gospel on the island of Antigua. It's important that we understand that the gospel must be preached and people must be reached with the gospel. That's the main reason why we go. We want the gospel to be advanced. But there is another reason, and the other reason is to encourage the pastor that we're going to be with and to encourage his people. Much of what I do when I go onto the islands is sometimes the pastor just wants to sit and talk. He has no one to talk to. He wants to sit and bounce things off of the visiting preacher that's there. That's part of the ministry. And so our job is to encourage that national pastor. One of the things that you find, and there are many things that you can learn when you're on those islands out there, but one of the things that you find is that by this group from Landmark going to Antigua, in the eyes of the people of the church there, it legitimizes that pastor's ministry. Does that make sense? So when we take a medical doctor into a city And we began to do medical clinics. In the eyes of that pastor's people, the people he's pastoring, it helps legitimize that pastor's ministry. So we do it to be a help and an encouragement. Third reason we go is this, is because it allows God to work in our lives. I'll leave for Haiti in a couple weeks, and I've been praying that God would work. We're going into an area where we help plant a church. Operation Rock sent the money to build this lean-to structure. They're meeting in it. Very rural area. I mean, this trip is going to be backpack and water bottle. That's what it's going to be. But we're going there to be a blessing. It's amazing to me how that when I go to be a blessing, that I receive a blessing. I've never taken someone to the mission field to where they haven't come back and been different than when they left. Never. I was thinking today, my first mission trip. My first mission trip was in 1988. 1988 was my first mission trip. My wife was at least 4 or 5 months pregnant with our first son, Joshua. And Brother Scotty invited us in 1988 to go to Lake Chapala, Mexico. We were praying about going there and starting a work there. The Lord never opened that door, but that was my first mission trip. I remember coming back to the States, and when I came back to the States, I remember the feeling that I had by being in another country and then coming back to America. And all these years, about 30, God's used that. You see, we go because it helps us. It challenges our hearts. It allows God to work in our lives. I want to share with you something from the Word of God real quick. I've got about 10 minutes. I want you to take your Bibles for a moment and go to the book of Exodus chapter 4. Let me share with you this truth. As you're turning to Exodus chapter 4, I do have some prayer cards here of our ministry. I don't want to take away from what the young people are doing and all the fundraising. The purpose for this service as it is tonight is so that the church would get behind what they're doing, and I know that the church is. This church is this church certainly is not a novice when it comes to missions. And you know a lot about missions, and I'm certainly grateful for that. And we'll leave these prayer cards here, and we'll get more if we need to. I want you to look at Exodus chapter 4 for just a moment, and let me give you just a couple thoughts. And then I'm going to turn the service back over to Pastor Carter. Look at Exodus 4 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me." Now, what Moses is saying is that when he goes back into Egypt, the children of Israel will not believe him. We know that because if you look in verse number 5, the Bible tells us that. Verse 1, "And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it." Well, that was pretty smart, wasn't it? Amen. Look at the next verse. "And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail." It's very interesting to me that the Lord did not tell him to take it by the head. And it's very interesting to me that we understand that Moses was listening very carefully at this time. Amen. Verse 4, "And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand." Notice back in verse number 2, and notice this phrase, "What is that in thine hand?" And I'm going to give you just 3 truths tonight in just a moment. And we'll not spend a lot of time. I'm mindful of the time. I'm watching the clock. But I just want to give you these truths real quick. Father, thank you for tonight. We do pray for these young people as they're preparing for this trip to Antigua. And Father, I pray that you would please help them to raise the money that they need to raise. We ask you, Father, to prepare their hearts in the next few months. And we ask you, Father, that you would please prepare the hearts of the people on the island of Antigua. Bind Satan. And we pray the gospel would be advanced and that the lives of people would be changed. Now, Father, I pray for just the next couple of minutes that we would draw our attention to this truth. We'll certainly thank you for what you'll do in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe that God has placed in the hand of every person tools to serve him with. The Bible teaches us that, and there are many examples. If we had time tonight, we could look in Exodus chapter 31. You would find a man named Bezalel. Bezalel was commanded by God that he would build the tabernacle, that he would build the furniture, that he would build all the things that were necessary for the tabernacle to work. You see, God placed within his hands the things that he needed to accomplish God's will for his life. We could look at the life of David. In the life of David, God gave him a sling and a stone. You see, God placed in his hand the things that he needed to accomplish his will and to serve him. We could look at the lad, and the lad who left that day and had some loaves and some fishes, and yet God placed within his hand the things that he needed to serve him and to accomplish his will. We could look at Samson. Samson had the jawbone that he used that God had given him. The widow had two mites, but she cast in all that she had. And the truth of the matter is this: I believe that God places in the hand of every person, based on those verses and many more, tools to serve him with. I think this, based on what the Bible teaches me, that there are two things, generally speaking, that God gives every person, lost or saved. Two things that God gives every person. The first one is ability. Ability. God has given all of us a certain amount of ability to do something. Some might be able to play an instrument. Some might be able to swing a hammer. Some might be able to work on things. But God has given each of us a certain ability to do certain things. There's something else, not only ability, but God has also given opportunity. I think of this ministry over the years, and I think of the ability, and I think of the opportunity that's been afforded this ministry for all these years. The word opportunity is an interesting word. The word opportunity comes from two words, ob, O-B, porter. It was an old sailing term. You see, back in the olden days, before the harbors were dredged out, those ships would wait offshore. And at high tide, those ships would make their way into harbor. And that's where the word opportunity came from. It was just a segment of time. May I say to you that God has given each of us ability and opportunity. The result of that is legacy, and legacy is what we leave behind. For the believer, God has also given us his word, amen, his spirit, and his church. 1 Timothy 3:15, it's the pillar and ground of the truth. The question was asked in Exodus chapter 4. The Lord asked a question, what is that in thine hand? So let me make these three statements very quickly. Number one, we need to understand something, that whatever we have in our hand that God has given us, it belongs to him. We know that because if you look in Exodus chapter 4 and verse number 20, the Bible says, and Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt, and Moses took the rod of, what's the next word, church? God. Whose rod was it? It was God's rod. It's important for us to understand that whatever we have in our hand that God has given to us, it belongs to God. That's time, talent, and treasure. The three T's. Time, talent, and treasure. Second statement. Whatever that we have in our hand, it's just ordinary unless God touches it. Look in verse number 3. And they said, or chapter 4, verse 3, and he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground. It became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. It's just ordinary unless God touches it. May I say to you tonight that you may have all the talent in the world, but unless God touches it, it's nothing. You may amass the world's wealth in your bank account, but unless God touches it, it's nothing. You see, everything that God has placed within our hands, those things are His, and it's important for us to understand that they are just ordinary unless God touches it. But understand this, that before God touches what's in our hand, He has to touch our heart. Statement number 3. Whatever you have in your hand, it's a tool to accomplish God's will. We know that because there's many verses, but Exodus chapter 4 and verse number 17, the Bible says, and thou shalt take this rod in thy hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. The purpose of the rod wasn't to help Moses walk. The purpose of the rod was to accomplish the will of God. It's important for us to understand that it wasn't about what Moses wanted. It was about God's will and what God was doing. And it's not about our problems, our past, or our plans, but it's about God's will for our life. Well, what's God's will for our life? Well, one of the things God's will for our life is to advance the gospel. And that's what these young people are going to be doing when they go to Antigua in August. Go to Numbers chapter number 20, and I'll close. Numbers chapter 20. In Numbers chapter 20, get this truth. In Numbers chapter 20, we have the last record concerning Moses and him using his rod. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 20, and we'll just read one verse. Numbers chapter 20, look in verse number 11. And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. The reason I show you that is because it's important for us to understand that this rod that God gave Moses to use for His honor and glory, in this text, the last time we see it, Moses used it for his own selfishness. And it's very important in my life and in your life when considering the matter of missions or living the Christian life for that matter, that we take the things that God has placed in our hands and we use those things to simply accomplish His will. Pastor Carter, you come.
Thank you, Brother Hester. I'll tell you what, that was a great message. Very true. God has put things in our hand for His glory and His use. And Moses struck the rock twice there at the end in violation of God's command as he kind of satisfied his own anger at the people. I wonder today how much more could be done in advancing the gospel if God's people stayed right with what God has given them and used it for the purpose that He's placed it. That is a great truth for us tonight. I'm going to do this. I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward. I want you to put all what come in tonight aside. I want to take an offering toward this mission trip. You're going to hear in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to talk about it quite a bit. It is costly, but I don't think we put price on souls. And these teenagers are soul winners. They go out every Wednesday afternoon in the neighborhood winning souls. And they win quite a few. Let me also tell you something you might not know, and that is a lot of the souls they win are other young people. Young people will listen to young people, more so than they will some of us older folks. And so they're good soul winners, and they'll go down there and they'll do a good job. And as Brother Hester just got through saying, it'll help them as well as the people they help. It'll grow them. It'll change them. It'll be a blessing. I'm going to ask that we stand. I'm going to have a word of prayer in just a moment. We're going to receive this offering. And I want you to pray about this. Most of us didn't come prepared tonight to give a lot. Give what you can tonight. We want to start it off. But I want you to think about it for the next 2 or 3 weeks, what God has put in your hand that you can give and have a part in the mission trip. They'll come back telling us about a lot of good things that's happened. Appreciate Brother Hester and his helping. What a great ministry he has down in those areas, and helping us out with this. And the world being what it is right now, it's costly to do things. Plane tickets, insurance, and things that we have to have to be right will cost. So I want you to give what you can tonight. If you can plan to give more in the next couple of weeks, I want you to plan. Now, don't reach in one pocket and take it out of the other. Don't reach in the regular tithe and offering that you give anyhow. This is over and above. This is your smoking money. I'm joking with you. It may be your McDonald's money. It may be whatever else you're wasting it on. All right, I better quit there. But anyway, I'm saying it's over and above your tithe and offering and even regular mission giving. All right? Father, we thank you for the message tonight. Thank you for the wonderful truth that was expressed from your word. We ask your blessing on this trip. It's a few weeks away yet, Lord, but we've got to be prepared. We've got to organize. We've got to raise the funds. And while the young people and their families will be doing what they can, we know the big expense, Lord, has got to be raised. We'll be trying to do that. Bless tonight in the offering. Bless even the next 2 weeks that folks might just take an envelope and write on it Teen Mission Trip and put something extra in. I pray that you would bless us to be able to take what's in our hand and use it for your glory. Thank you again, Father, for the message tonight and for the what you've placed on the hearts of these young people and youth leader to get this done. And we ask your blessing on it now in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask them to pass the offering plates tonight. Do what you can. If you can't do anything tonight, plan to do something later. All right?